Jalen Brown.
Game win streak in the building. What up?
Yeah.
That's how you have to announce yourself.
Yeah.
Whenever you go anywhere.
Like it should be a bigger deal than what it is. Like 12 games is a lot.
It's very, very impressive. I think it's been like 26 days since you guys have lost a game. This is Jalen Brown, by the way, since you did not say his name. It's been like 26 days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, almost a whole month.
Yeah. I mean, did you anticipate this coming, especially after, I mean, the injuries, Hayward went down, Kyrie isn't playing right now?
I didn't anticipate it, but I'm not surprised. Like, the group that we got, I mean, we just got a good group of guys who get along, and it's just a pleasure being in the locker room with them.
And you are really contributing. I mean, did you see your role being like this season?
Yeah. I mean, I got high expectations for myself, probably higher than most would have for me, but I knew when big trades were made that I was going to have more opportunities, so I was ready.
Was that, okay, obviously your name was kind of put into some trade talks, you know, in the beginning of the season. Was that the first time you really encountered, like, okay, I may not be in Boston anymore? And how did that feel? That's kind of like the welcome to the NBA moment for you.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and everybody has, like, a different opinion about it. For me, I really don't pay attention to too much stuff. Like, if I can't control it, then I don't even, like, sweat over it, so... When I heard my name in the trade talks, you were hearing so many different rumors and so many different things. It's like you'll drive yourself crazy trying to pay attention to everything. So I just let it fall where it falls. If I get traded, I'll get traded.
Now, I don't want to talk about basketball too much because that's not what we do on the podcast. But with the streak, right, I honestly have to because it is so impressive. You are only 21, okay? Yeah. I am not trying to, like, sun you. I'm only 25. It's not like I think you're super young.
Right.
But to be 21 and be doing this in the league and just kind of playing as consistently as you are, how do you, I guess, manage that at this age?
On the court or off, what do you mean?
Both.
Just try to have good people around you, you know, just trying to find ways outside of basketball or things that kind of bring you, find that peace of mind, you know, things that you like to do. I think it's a lot of things that athletes like to do, but they don't really talk about because it's not considered okay yet. Like, if you're a basketball player, you just got to be a basketball player. You should be in the gym all day long, every day. And in reality, you're probably in the gym, what, 2-3 hours a day, and the rest of the day, you're living your life. So there's plenty of stuff that you can do outside of it. And that I feel like I want to be a part of the generation to make it more comfortable for people who, like, want to do things outside of basketball as well.
Because I read so many things, just like even with the anthem protests and stuff, you're the one that wanted to gather your team and say, hey, how do we add to this discussion? You know, I saw it during Summer League, you wanted to have like a young NBA players party for everyone that wasn't 21 but still wanted to have fun.
Right.
And it's like you're able to kind of get this leadership role. Even though, you know, you're not a vet, you're not someone that has been around the NBA for a while, and I think that that's really unique for someone that's your age. So where does that come from?
To be honest, I have no clue. I'm just being me, just trying to just keep it on it, as they say. Just
keep it on it?
Yeah, just kind of be the best version. I'm just really out here. I got a lot of good people around me, mentors and stuff, and they put things in my ear, and obviously I feel like it's a responsibility to give back and to be in the community and just try to make it a better aspect and carry the brand of the league or take it to another level, you know what I mean? So just being an NBA player and things like that and being someone who wants to be a part of the future, like little stuff like that comes with it.
So is it fair to say that you want like basketball to lead to other things?
I wouldn't put it in a terms like that. You know, I'm a basketball player, that's what I do. Like, I spend majority of my time focusing on, like, how I hoop. But other than that, like, when I'm outside the floor, there's other things that I like to do as well. Like, I'm a human as well, so I'm not
sure. Are you?
Right, you know what I mean?
I had no idea. I don't think most fans know that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I try to make it seem like. Like, we play basketball, and you see us on TV every day and everything and commercials or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, we're just like you.
But it really is, like, the psyche of a fan is so funny to me just because, you know, if an athlete is doing something, like, for example, if Dame is rapping or Iman Shumpert is rapping and they're like, how dare you rap? You need to be on the court all the time.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't be doing music. This isn't your job. All the time that you, like, are spending should only be on hooping. And it's like, people who aren't athletes don't spend all of their time just doing their job. Right. But it's like, for some reason, fans feel like basketball players can only be dedicated to basketball.
Yeah, the way I look at it is like, most fans have a day job. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? What if I said, you know, you can't cheer for the Celtics, you just need to focus on, mm-hmm. you know, working in an office. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people have multiple interests and multiple facets like they want to endeavor. So, like, I don't knock nobody for wanting to do something that they find, like, passionate about or whatever. So, that's how I feel about it.
So, what are some of your multiple interests? See,
not that.
Let's hear it.
Not that. I don't know if I'm a... She's trying to get
You the, can't tell your interests?
I mean, I can. I mean, like, I like music, of okay. course. I like writing, and those are two of the things that I like to do in my off time and my pastime to kind of relinquish and kind of have just like a creative form to just like get out my ideas and thoughts and stuff.
What do you write about?
Like a lot of stuff. Like it could be poetry. It could be
really.
It could be just writing in general, where I'm just like just formulating my thoughts. Like if you look at my phone, my notes. Like I'm always typing something because like I'm always thinking about something on a daily basis, so I'm always typing something down so I don't forget it. And it's just like, if you looked at it, you wouldn't understand it, but I would, you know? It's yeah. like just random thoughts and things like that that I want to put together in the future, but it could be anything, like writing in general, like stories, whatever. I'll probably write some script. I got a lot of plans.
Really, script writing? So for movies, TV shows, plays, yeah. all of that?
All of that.
All of that.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, so give me an example when you're pulling out your notes, like what's something that could come to your head that you would say, this needs to be jotted down?
It could be anything. Like I could be looking at somebody and I could be thinking about, like my mind is moving like 100 miles per hour most of the time. So like I could see somebody in a blue dress or whatever, and that could remind me of something that happened 2 weeks ago. And I'd be like, okay, I need to turn this into this, and I might do this in the future. Or I could be here on the show with a podcast, and I could be thinking maybe I want to have my own podcast one day. You know, it could be anything. So I might write that down.
Really?
Yeah.
And your poetry, what's that about? Same thing?
Nah, so you want to keep ringing your head. She's trying to put me on the spot.
I will ask everything, yes. Oh, do we not get to know about your poetry? That's
nah,
like a
I mean, like, I
that's
mean,
like a Jalen secret.
No, nah, it's not a secret.
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm not, of course, I'm not embarrassed to say that either.
You shouldn't be.
I mean, I'm not.
It's very cool.
No, I do it just artistic form of expression. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't do it to show people. I don't do it for it to go public or be publicized. I do it just to help me keep my peace of mind.
Okay, so you're doing this like at night before you go to sleep throughout
the
day?
It's not an everyday thing. Like, it's not a thing. Like,
I'm
a
very
script.
Interested in this. Let me ask my question.
It's not a script. He's making a
you're
whole
like, I don't want to talk
nah,
about my poetry.
Nah, I don't want to. It's not a script. It's not an everyday thing. It's yeah. just kind of like if I feel
it's
like
it.
If I'm, it's a pastime.
Okay, yeah. Very nice.
It's not something I'm trying to celebrate. Oh, I'm cool because I do this. Nah, it's just something I like to do. And somebody asked me, like, if I like to write, that's one of the things I enjoy doing.
No, I do completely believe you're being so authentic with this, but you're right. It's like there's some people that, like, want
to
be edgy, so you're like,
nah, I'm
not I write poems sometimes.
Nah, I'm not
and they
be,
never write poems.
I'm not trying to be cool, like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I write music. Like, I've written music for artists, et cetera. I'm really cool with a lot of artists and things like that.
Is that, like, a secret, or can we know, like, what artists?
This is the first time I've ever said that on TV,
for Who'd
sure.
you write for?
I can't see,
He's not letting us in, guys. Okay, but one day you have to tell me. Don't tell me right now.
For sure. If I were to tell somebody, I'll tell Taylor.
Okay, good. See, that's what I like to hear. One day you will tell me. Can you, like, rap or sing?
I wouldn't say that.
But you can.
Yo, she's bogus.
No one can answer that.
Hey, yo, she's bogus.
So, do you rap or do you sing? No to both.
Nah.
You could, but you don't?
I don't.
But can you? Like,
why
do you?
This, why does this matter? Why
do you have a voice?
Why does this matter?
Do you have a rapping?
I cannot sing.
Okay.
I can. Well, to me, I can. But I
like in the shower,
in the
you
shower,
are bomb.
Yeah, it's over. OD.
Okay.
Just sing whatever. ODs, all
okay.
of that.
Who are some of your favorite artists?
Of all time or what?
All time.
Oh, that's tough. Like, first off, you know, from Atlanta, A-Town represents, so I gotta go with OutKast,
yes.
One of my favorite groups, I think one of the best groups of all time. Three Stacks, one of the best rappers. I like Kendrick Lamar. Like, right now, I'm trying to think, some of the new artists, I like Joey Badass, I like A$AP Rocky and the whole Cozy Tapes. I think that's super dope. Who else? like, J. Cole, I can go, I can name along. It depends on, like, what day I feel when I wake up.
Yeah, J. Cole is like the cakey mood. Like,
exactly,
you're kind of chilling.
I mean. But I listen to, like, all walks of music. I listen to, like, house music. I listen to the Tea Leaf Dancers. I listen to a lot of different stuff, you know what I mean? Or what do they call it? Flying Lotus.
Okay. Flying Lotus. I'm not going to act like I even know what that is, but it's that's cool.
What's his name? What's the name's grandson? Guitar player. Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
His grandson makes music.
I did not know that. You just learning.
Flying Lotus.
Okay.
Yeah, he's dope too.
Very like random segue, but do you listen to Counting Crows?
I do.
Because I saw they tweeted the other day that when they first met you, they thought you could maybe run for Senate, which I thought was so random, but also very cool. Mm-hmm. Why did they feel that way?
Mm-hmm. I met Adam at Cal. I think he went to Cal, so we met through mutual friends way back. I mean, he's just a great guy, and he just talked to him, chopped it up with him for probably about an hour, just about life. And, you know, it's dope just talking to somebody that successful in the field that they're in, and just to hear their talk about whatever they're passionate about is dope.
Okay. Could you run for Senate?
I don't know. Who knows? I'm 21.
But I could totally see you in politics.
You could?
100%.
Okay.
You seem like a very, like, intellectual, inquisitive person that wants to learn about the world around you.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not something you thought about?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, in the future, I'm not saying you quit.
Yeah.
And like, you become Barack Obama.
Oh, no, definitely not. Like, who knows what the future entails? Like, I don't know what the end plan or could turn out to be. Like, I could have a whole different plan and he could have a whole other plan for me. So I just try to work on myself every day. That's all I worry about.
Does politics interest you?
You could say that.
I could say that. What else could we say about politics?
What you mean?
Give me more.
I definitely have some political views. I would say that.
Okay.
Some I would share now and some I wouldn't, you know?
Okay. What are some that you would share? Jalen was clearly not ready for this podcast, y'all.
I definitely was not ready, like, from, like, everything.
He's like, she's not going to ask me anything.
I'm thinking we're going to talk about Atlanta, Waffle House. I'm thinking we're about to talk.
We will get to that, of course. Of course we have to talk about Waffle House and Atlanta. But you're so interesting. There's so many things to discuss with you.
Yeah. Can we get to the Waffle House?
You want to get to the Waffle House?
Yeah.
If we get to the Waffle House, can we then come back eventually?
All right,
but
we can
talk
back
about Waffle House. Okay. Also, I have a bone to pick with you. You think that Chick-fil-A is, like, definitely better than Zaxby's. I disagree.
I think I didn't say it was definitely better. I think
but you were not on the Zaxby's is better bandwagon.
It's a tough choice, to be honest. I think that's what I said. It was tough.
Chick-fil-A breakfast is better. That we agree on.
Zaxby doesn't have breakfast.
But Zaxby's chicken.
Fire.
Better than Chick-fil-A fire.
Very close.
You're wrong on that.
Nah, I think this is a really, I think
we should ask the people.
The people, okay. And I think it'd be a lot closer. We should do a poll.
Okay.
Start a poll. But I definitely think it's going to be very close.
It's also funny that now, obviously you probably can say it more than me, but like you say you're from Atlanta. Like if I said I was from Atlanta, I would be like kind of fronting a little bit. Because Gwinnett is not Atlanta.
It's Metro Atlanta.
Yeah, but like, am I from Atlanta?
Yeah, you was in the Peachtree Ridge is like
right
the outskirts.
Because I always say, like, I'm from Gwinnett.
Yeah, I mean, you can get to the city in 15 minutes.
Very true, like 25.
Yeah, very true. So I'm actually from Gwinnett as well. So I'm more closer to the city than you are.
Wait, where?
Like I was supposed to go to Norcross.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So would you have been there? I'm trying to think of some Norcross people. Like Jeremy Lamb.
Jeremy Lamb and my brother. We're like really close friends growing up.
They're
playing the same AAU team. He used to be at the house all the time, kicking it.
Yeah.
Playing 2K video games. And I didn't even know, like, he was like, I knew he was a basketball, he was good. Then he ended up being like an NBA player.
But I don't think anyone really knew that. Like, I don't remember people flocking to Norcross to go see Jeremy.
Not at all, right?
Yeah.
Right, but then he was good. Like, I came to the games because my brother went to Meadow Creek. My older brother went to Meadow Creek.
Okay.
So Meadow Creek and Norcross would play and they were good. So Jeremy Lamb used to be at the house like playing video games, and I used to be like playing too. I used to be busting his ass, all of that, when I was younger. And then
who do you play with?
I don't play 2K no more. I don't really play video games like that.
Really?
Unless it's FIFA.
Okay.
I don't dive too much into it, but Jeremy Lin used to be at the house, and then first game of the season, the first time we played him, my rookie year, I don't think he remembered or knew who I was. So I told him that story, and he was like, "Oh,
that was you.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's the thing. Like Gwinnett is full of people that just like end up going like really far, doing the thing that they were working on back when they were at Gwinnett. Like mm-hmm. It's a very like what Migos. Lou Williams, you, Jeremy Lamb.
Oh, the list goes on. You're talking about like
out
there's
of like the people
city.
From Gwinnett. Yeah, in that Gwinnett. Area. Yes. Because I mean, what's his name? Quavo went to Berkmar. That's Gwinnett.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah, that's where the area that we call like the Knoff.
Yeah, the Knoff. Zone 7. Like, I'm from Zone 7. I don't know what zone you are. I think you're 6.
It's only one way, that way. Yeah. You feel me? Yeah.
That was good. I wish I would have thought to say that before you, but it's okay. But yeah, so like just the whole like the North thing, and oh my God, Lou Williams sells these like hoodies that are the North Face logo, but it's just like the North Side.
Yeah, I need to get one.
I know. I need to get one of those too.
Yeah, I need to talk. I've been seeing Lou. You know, like he kind of watched me kind of come up. Him and we have similar mentors, or not mentors, like people that we hang around with or whatever. I didn't see him at plenty open gyms and other stuff I won't mention either.
You, like, are a talker, but you are also not a talker.
Like, I'm...
You
like,
keep saying something and then stopping.
Yeah, you're right.
Why is that?
Because you're asking me questions like no reporter will ever ask.
That's the point. That's how it should be. This is a podcast.
Nah,
it's supposed
to be... I'm having a great time.
Conversational. I'm having a great time. And then, like, stopping before you have a really good time. Holding back. This is the thing. We're just gonna...
I don't know. I'm not trying to be going viral.
We're just gonna... you're trying to not get Michael Beasley.
I'm not trying to... And Michael Beasley is the homie. You know, we work
out. Oh, Michael Beasley's great. He really is.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all was talking about.
Oh, y'all interview. I told you, the whole 10% thing, it isn't even real, so.
Both of y'all was sounding
yeah,
like.
Yeah, we both sounded. But did he sound worse than me? I say he sounded worse than I did.
To be honest, I understand what he was trying to argue, but he was arguing it bad.
But it also, like, the argument didn't make sense.
Like, the argument.
Like, you don't have to be going 90 miles per hour to know someone's going 80.
I didn't believe that somebody uses 10% in their brain anyway. I think you access multiple.
You do.
Yeah, anytime and any point.
But, like, movies and stuff have perpetuated that myth. Because I actually think a lot of people think it's real.
Movies?
Yeah.
I think education system.
Really? I don't think anyone in school ever said it. It's seriously movies.
I think, I don't know who coined it, but I think, like, Charles Darwin is the one who like pushed that along.
Really?
I could be mistaken.
I think Darwin's main thing was like the whole survival of the fittest thing.
His was the whole Darwinism was the evolution theory. Yeah. But I also think he used to talk about people using part of their brain. He used to use that to kind of stereotype people as well. Like saying that this type of people uses this amount of brain and this type of person uses this percentage of their brain as well.
Wow. This is the first time someone has ever brought up Charles Darwin in a podcast. I'm very impressed that you even know like what Charles Darwin was talking about. I have no idea. I do know he was a survival of the fittest thing. Like he kind of said like people, like
evolution.
The evolution. Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
That was his main thing, but he also talked about a lot of different other stuff too.
So make sure we get Michael Beasley to study like some Charles Darwin.
Both of y'all.
He'll get us through it. No, like I get it now. He doesn't get it, but I get it now. So only he needs to study Charles Darwin. But I'm listening to you, and I know you're like, okay, I want to hold back and all this stuff. But there's so many interesting things about you. And hearing you talk about all this stuff, I remember when you were being drafted, there was this kind of thing that went around that some people thought you could be too smart to be a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Did that offend you?
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was, when it got back to me, because I don't really pay attention to like stuff that's being written, like the article. I can't remember who wrote it, but it came out like because I was interested or I was considered intelligent, that it could be what do you call it? It could be considered as arrogant mm-hmm. when it comes to the terms of basketball, and I thought that was just ridiculous. I mean, I didn't look too much into it. I laughed at it, to be honest, but. I think that's silly if somebody's considered, and it was a lot of connotations that I kind of came to my mind at first when it comes to like seeing a quote like that.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of brought me back to like stuff that, like the other stuff that people can associate with that type of thinking, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Like for them to say that, I thought that was ridiculous. I like somebody should have definitely checked them on that.
Definitely. Why do you think it is that it's like people don't think that you can both be smart and a great basketball player? Or is it more of like wanting people to kind of stay in their box?
I think it has something to do with, I don't know. Like, I don't know. My whole thing is, I think it maybe has something to do with like a mechanism of like control. Like they're trying to, I don't know, it's considered to be maybe a threat to be intelligent and athletic at the same time. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody has the exact answer for that. You know, everybody can make like they can make a guess or a hypothesis of why somebody would say that. But I mean, that's what I would think. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know why that wasn't that wasn't more discussed or talked about.
Yeah, I know, because I remember it like really stuck out to me, and like one of the like quotes from the anonymous GM or whoever it was just like, people want players that will just do what they say but not question why they have to do it. Mm-hmm. And so they're not used to that kind of that power dynamic. And so for like these old school guys to have a player come in who's kind of questioning the different reasons why they're doing something is something they didn't want in their team, which is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of what the GM was trying to explain. But it's dumb either way.
I think it came out where somebody got back to me who said that. And I actually know I'm not going to release who actually said it. But I'm just happy the Boston Celtics drafted me. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens is a great coach who, and like, he inspires you to ask questions.
And he's really smart.
And he's really intelligent as well. And like, how he draws his ATOs, you see it every day. The amount of work he puts in on the game, understanding the game, you can see it. So I'm just glad I got to a system to where like I can ask questions and feel confident and continue to grow as a basketball player. And even off the floor, Brad has given me numerous like books to read and things like that. So he's all for it. So I'm just happy to be a part of the Celtics organization right now.
Good. What books has he given you?
A book by Angela Duckworth called Grit.
Okay.
He also recommended me a book that I already had read. It was called Legacy, about the All Blacks.
Yeah. In New Zealand,
right? Right. Yeah. Actually, Thierry Henry, a famous soccer player, gave it to me. And I was, when I was in South Africa, he got it for me.
And you love soccer.
I love soccer. Big soccer fan.
Were you freaking out?
I was. It was kind of weird.
Tell me about that.
That was kind of weird. So we were in South Africa for the...
Wait, he's French, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
For the... Well, he's from the island. What's Carter Island? I'm not sure. Yes, but he played for the French national team, but he's from... he's from somewhere else. But I met him in South Africa for the first time, and he was working... Like, we were doing different community workshops with kids, even going to orphanages, and playing soccer, playing basketball, just engaging or whatever. And we got to meet him. The first time I met him, we was playing soccer. And, like, it was like a little group where they play, like, one touch. And then we were having a good time. And then I guess nobody was really – everybody kind of knew who he was. But, like, I'm like, this is like the Kobe of soccer, you know. So I had to go up to him and get a picture with him. And told him that I was a big fan growing up, Arsenal, mm-hmm. all of the above. So talked to him, kind of built a relationship. We ended up going to see a South African team the next day and touring their facility and stuff like that. And ended up got to talk to him more, ask him questions, interviewed him, and et cetera.
You're like smiling even talking about it.
Yeah,
I love
man.
It.
Like, we still talk. We still talk to this day.
Really?
Like, he's somebody who I consider like somebody I can learn from. He talks to me, mentors me. And things like that. I think he'll be in London when we play in London.
So who are the people? Obviously he's one. But who's like the group of people that you almost can't believe you've met or that you can just text?
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Tell me just a couple. Just tell me a couple. You won't be like leaving anybody out. But tell me ones that really stick out to you.
Isaiah Thomas.
Who you guys are very close. I know he like mentored you through your draft process and all that stuff. Okay.
The list goes on. Like, I'm just as impressed with Isaiah Thomas as I am with, you know, anybody else. Like, I try to keep everybody on the same, what's the name, on the same text response rate, you know?
Okay, give me some more though. Isaiah Thomas.
Jason Kidd.
Very nice.
Tracy McGrady, all these are basketball players, but Thierry Henry, of course, who else? I'm on blank right now. Like, you see, you should have told me to, like, have my stuff ready before
That isn't the art of an interview. The art of an interview isn't having the person come in prepared. You just have a free-flowing conversation.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, if I came in, I'm like, hey, these are the questions I want to ask you, and then you're going to come and answer these, it's like robotic.
Yeah, that's boring, right?
Yeah, very boring. See, when you decide you want to like venture into TV, I will help you.
Give you a call?
Yeah, you a call. Make sure you don't give your subjects questions before, and it'll be good.
I bet.
I do have something you're probably not going to tell me, but I need to ask. Are you going to do the dunk contest?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Are you leaning?
I don't know.
Why?
Why? Just, I just don't know.
You love dunking.
In the game.
And you've had some very impressive ones. What's been your favorite?
My favorite? I think on my birthday when I did the backwards one, mm-hmm. but I got some more coming this season. It takes a lot of energy to do. Like, people think it's easy, like you just throw it off the backboard, 360 done. It's light, it's easy. Nah, it's not.
And yeah, and for the like dunk contest at All Star Weekend, there's all these theatrics that go into it. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot.
It's a lot that goes into it, and I'm probably 50-50. And we'll see, but it could happen.
Will you at least do it once before your career is over?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
It's a high probability.
High probability we will see you at All Star Weekend.
You heard it here first.
Okay. Heard it here first. Yeah. I was watching this video. I was watching this video that someone put on YouTube. It was like a fan playing you in basketball.
Right.
He lost badly. But do you, like, encounter a lot of people that kind of feel like they could beat NBA players if they tried?
Yeah, probably, like, 80% of the population.
Okay. And what's your response to that? Why do you think people feel like they can?
They can't. They feel like they can beat the average NBA player. I wouldn't consider myself average, but, like, if it came to, like, Kyrie, LeBron, they would be like, oh, no, I probably don't have a chance. But if it came to, like, an average regular role player, they'd be like, I could take him.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, you couldn't.
Okay.
Like, even people that live with me, like, my cousins, they think they can beat. Like, my cousin always telling me, he said, I can get somebody. He's like, yeah, like, I can get one of these old veterans or something like that. Like, I can get Jared Dudley. I'm like,
Jared Dudley?
I'm like, first off, don't play my man Jared.
You're right.
And second off, he will bust your ass if he got the, not even close. He's like, come on. I'd be like, no, you cannot. And that's just how it is.
But I don't know why, like, people that are in the NBA, they are the best of the best. So just, I don't understand why people, like, you see people on Twitter, like, I could go out there and play better than you, or, like, and they really have that conviction that they can.
Right, and rightfully so. I mean, everybody has an entitlement to their own opinion. So just part of me doing that video was just to, like, bring people, like, let them know, like I ain't the one that you is.
That you can beat.
Nah.
And he wasn't a bad player.
Nah, he's not.
Yeah, was that like a friend of yours?
It is, It's a friend of mine from high school. We played on the same high school team, and like he always would be like, I can bust your ass, da da da, just like high school. Like that. So I was like, all right, we're going to see. He came, like he was in Boston visiting, and we was kicking it. He does a vlog, does a YouTube series that's being successful, TLS TV, go check it out.
Plug.
Yeah, and he's from Atlanta, and he came, okay. He came out, so we playing, and like I was working out, and he was watching me work out, and then he was like, man, he's like, ain't nothing changed from high school. Don't get it twisted. I was like, all right, cool out here.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's good. Like, he played D1 basketball. Like, he could hoop. But, nah, it didn't end well.
What do you think it is that separates, like, the NBA players from maybe the college players? What is that one, like, tangible quality that you think gets you there?
To get you there? I think opportunity and focus. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's hard to just pinpoint, like, one thing, because it's like a lot of people just had great opportunities or in a great system and are now in the NBA, and some people should be in the NBA and didn't get the opportunity or was in a bad system. So it depends. Like, it's not one thing you could probably pinpoint. It's a lot of different things, you know, just even off the floor, you know, because like people get in trouble. You see kids getting in trouble all the time. You see a lot of temptations and a lot of people falling and into bad habits, and things happen that they can't control or whatever the case may be. But it's hard to say, like, what gets you to the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, I can't speak for the other 400 or 300 and something that's here now, but I only can speak for myself.
Because people really do underestimate, like, opportunity and, like, players that maybe end up in a system that is bad for them. And so that year is a bust, and then people think they're a bad player. But it's about getting into that right system for you and, you know, kind of like that right scenario, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That's I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. How did you kind of know, like, okay, Boston, that was the right thing for you?
I didn't have a choice. Like, Boston chose me. Like, obviously, it was a great choice, and I'm happy to be in Boston, but, like, I had no idea where I was going. Like, people like, articles like the one you were talking about came out, and then people were dropping me into, instead of being a top five pick, they were dropping me to being a top 10 pick, and there was a lot of different stuff going on. I didn't have an agent at the time, so then that was a whole nother thing. I don't know if that was because I didn't have an agent. Like, other stuff like this was coming out, because maybe that people were trying to keep athletes in the mind of having an agent. Mm-hmm. So when I came out and then I got drafted third, which was probably one of the highest picks ever for somebody to enter the draft without an agent. And when that happened during that time, other people thought it would change the game. Other people thought other things, and I don't think it's changed anything.
Yeah, like people are still getting agents.
Yeah. It didn't change anything. But, like, I think that drew people's attention, and people didn't like that.
Yeah, but before we get to your Twitter questions, I do want to ask you a little more about that. You were in the draft without an agent. What kind of sparked that for you? What made you know that was the right decision for you?
Well, I interviewed a lot of agents coming in, like, just to see what they offer, et cetera. And I talked to a lot of my mentors that I mentioned before, and just to pick their brains about, like going into the draft, like, and things like that. And I remember a funny story. I remember after we lost in the tournament when I was in college in Hawaii, season's over. So, like, at that point, I had a terrible game, too. Like, the last four games of the season was, like, awful. So I went from being, like, possibly a top three pick to possibly being, like, top 15. So,
yeah.
Like, I didn't know what to do. So I remember I made a phone call, and then Isaiah was like, I called Isaiah, and Isaiah was like, if you need to talk, I'm here. So I remember him saying that. That's all he really said.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day, I just showed up at his door. He said, "Hey, man, what you doing?"
You said if I needed to talk, hey,
I'm
you're here.
I'm
yeah.
here, man. I needed to talk, man. I didn't know. He gave me a lot of good direction and go, like, where to go next, and I really needed that. And I just went from there, but that's how that story went, yeah.
And so then it was him, and I know you kind of had a group of a lot of mentors that helped you throughout that draft process.
For sure, because I didn't really... Like, once I was, like, I didn't know after the season, like, it was a big decision. Like, I think I was, like, I waited all the way to, like, the last date to enter the draft because I just wanted to explore all my options. Anytime you're making, like, a critical decision that's going to, like, change the course of your life.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to rush into it and take all the time that you have.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. You ready for some Twitter questions?
Oh, yeah.
See, you thought that was going to be really hard.
It wasn't.
Well... Even though you didn't answer anything, but that's all right. Let's see. Let's see the Twitter questions. You have a lot. All righty. Who are your top three role models?
I don't know. Next question.
You don't know? Next question.
I don't know. Well, okay.
Tell
okay,
some. Okay.
Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Benjamin Banneker, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Very nice. Have you met Kareem?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was dope. Like, he's one of my, if not my favorite player of all time. So when I met him, it was dope meeting him.
When you meet these people that, like, I guess whether you admire or you look up to, are you trying, like, what are you trying to gain from that meeting, if that makes sense?
I don't know. I don't think you necessarily have anything. Like, when I met him, it was just in passing. It wasn't like I had to talk to him or nothing like that. He was at the RT, the rookie transition program. Here, it was in New Jersey, when I was in New Jersey. So I just really just got to shake his hand. And that was enough for me. Like, I didn't have to say anything. I just looked him in his eyes and shook his hand, and I was good with
that. Just that interaction. Someone said, what's it like being the greatest basketball player of all time?
Next question.
I knew that was coming. Ask how much Brad Stevens has helped him progress as a player the past two seasons.
Brad has helped a lot, you know, just his understanding of the game, understanding, like, my expectations for myself, but also the expectations of the team. I think he does a great job of balancing that, and he puts you in the right position to be successful.
Favorite TV show and favorite book?
Martin.
I like it.
Favorite book. Man, my favorite book is always like the book I'm reading now.
What are you reading now?
I'm reading a book called Pound the Stone by Joshua Metcalf.
Okay, very nice. I have not heard of it. What's it about?
It's like, just about mindset. It's like you pound the stone 99 times and nothing happens and you pound it on the 100th.
But it's not the 100th time, it's the 99 times before that broke the rut. I know what you're talking about. I've heard that. How have you improved your game since you've joined the NBA and who has helped you along the way?
How have I improved my game? Just getting better, stronger, faster, more athletic, shooting the ball better, handling the ball better, understanding the game, seeing things slower, all of the above. Who's helped me? My trainer from back home, Desmond Eastman, Lillian, my favorite trainer in the world, Lillian Abdelbeck. She's like the best. She's my speed.
I love this. It's a woman. I love it.
Yeah, she's like, she's killing it too. Like, mm-hmm. She's the best in the game. She's a little short Egyptian lady. She trains like all like a bunch of NFL players, and she works with me. So I've been working with her since I was like 13 or 14.
Okay.
And my vertical, my agility, my strength, all of that is just like
gone through the roof.
Through the roof, through the years. I can give a lot of that credit to Lillian. I've been working with her for a long time.
I love that. How have you continued to educate yourself after leaving college after 1 year? And do you plan to go back to school eventually or continue to study things you're interested in outside of basketball?
To be honest, I miss school a lot, like OD, like sometimes.
Really?
Like a lot. Like I took a lot of great classes when I was at Cal, like life-changing classes, stuff I'll never forget. Like I took graduate classes at Cal. I took theoretical studies. I took student activism. I took a bunch of dope classes. Like it was like the most interesting classes like in the world. Global poverty in practice. Like all these classes like were crazy dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are a very smart human being. That's good. But let's see. You have a lot of questions that I can't ask all of them. If you weren't playing basketball, what would you be doing?
I get that question quite often, and I do not know. Like, I don't know, I have no idea, I have to reassess.
What do you think? What are some options?
I'll probably still be in school. I'd be a junior in college right now.
What would you be studying?
If I were still, I would be studying education.
Okay, to be a teacher?
An advocate.
Very nice. Okay, I'll ask you two more. This is by far the most questions I have ever gotten for someone. My phone is freezing. When are you going to flash your best dunk? Your best dunk. When are you going to flash it? Best dunk. Like, when you dunk on someone.
When am I going to flash it?
When are you going to do it? This is not my question.
If I knew, then I would.
You don't know? Like, you don't have, like, a game. You're like, this is, like, there's someone I want to dunk on.
Yeah, like, the Warriors. We play the Warriors on Thursday. That's when you're going to. No.
Yeah, that's how. That's what I'm looking for. But okay.
No.
Okay, one more. People are asking about political office, all this stuff. I could not get that out of him, guys. What's the biggest thing you have learned being an NBA player?
On the floor, keep your confidence.
And off?
Off the floor. make wise decisions.
I like it. That's good advice for everyone. And thank you for coming on. I hope it was painless.
No, it was light.
Good. And maybe next time you will answer more of my questions.
Yeah.
That's going to be the goal for the next time you're on.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks, Jalen. So I don't know about you, but I was certainly not that mature at 21 years old. I definitely didn't know anything about Darwin, and I certainly did not miss school. But I am very happy that Jalen found a basketball home that nourishes his want to learn, and he has a coach that really encourages that intellect, because it's extremely refreshing to see that in the NBA. So thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching the name. Like, subscribe, and leave a review. Until next time.